Hey, back on the podcast here. I'm Philip, and I'm joined by Bridget and Jody today. We're recording this. We don't have much of an agenda, but I'm just going to save this in case we want to make it an episode, and it'll be lots of fun just to reconnect here. I've been on a bit of a health sabbatical lately, so I just wanted to get back in the swing of hopping on the chat and I don't know, geeking out a little bit about the latest current happenings in our various spheres. So glad to have you guys here, Jody and Bridget. And let's just get into, some catching up. It's nice, much nicer here in northern Minnesota where I am. Philip Elke, host of the Thodcast, conversations about animation and talking entertainment, philosophy and all that. So that'll be the subject for today, but just hang in there as we chat away with I've got my two co-hosts from great state of Georgia joining me. Okay, yeah, we were talking about kids. You guys both moms.
For better or worse, we are both moms. Yes.
Yeah.
much more recently with Jody, you've got a newborn. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know how long you call them newborn, but I'm gonna call him newborn till he's like two, I think, just for the social like grace that people give me when I'm like, oh, sorry, I'm late. Like, I have a newborn. I had jury duty this week. I mean, I didn't have jury duty essentially because of that newborn, and I was like, huh.
Did they let you out of it?
Well, yeah, because it was a case in reference to a death of a child. And then when they're like, do you think like having kids, like you can be biased one way or the other? I'm like, well, if my child like passed away, I'd probably burn the hospital down to the ground. So like, no.
Probably like, not. Yeah.
Especially like a corporation versus like a mom and a dad, like give them the money. Just give them the money.
Yeah,
like,
I don't even care. Just give them the money.
Yeah, I was like, I don't even really care, like, if it was the hospital's fault or not, but, like, I was already, like, emotionally pulled in one direction. But in the future, when I don't have a newborn, I would be very interested in being called back to do jury duty, because I think it's an interesting process, and I know some people, like, poo-poo it as their civic duty, but I'd rather do jury duty than pay my taxes, so, like, it's kind of fun. I don't know. There might be another opportunity. Have either of you guys had a call to serve your country? Oh,
I have, but the first time I was pregnant and the second time I was nursing. And so they were like, oh, okay, we'll just put you on the thing for like in a couple of years. And I was like, okay. And I haven't gotten called again, but I want to do something like juicy. I want to do like a murder trial.
I mean, I the time,
good, but not of children.
Maybe no.
I think I'd be like, I'm 100% biased. Do not pick me.
But other than that, in the time we've been away, I've been, as you know, like we both kind of work in like the princess entertainment business. Bridget also does like cosplay and stuff. But I've been super interested in like children's clothing and children's like merchandise and just kind of I've been digging into like what parents are spending their money on. And I'll have you know that like people are still obsessed with Frozen and people are super obsessed with Cars. So I don't know if we ever did a Cars episode, but I guess even though that is such, to me, like an old movie, I'm realizing how many boy moms are still like dreaming and begging for like Cars themed everything. I don't know when that series stopped, but that was like, that's the other thing I've been working on.
Oh, it's a merchandising behemoth, that's for sure.
Yeah, Cars and Frozen.
Well, I don't.
It.
Yeah, I don't think we've watched Cars. Like, I've tried to get him to get Oliver to watch Cars. He's like, he loves Cars. He loves cars and trucks. I think he even has like Blaze. I think it's on Nick Jr.
Oh,
he's like a car truck that transforms into other things. But I can't get him to sit down and watch Cars. I think the feature films just aren't hitting it for him. But
is it because they're so
anything
long?
With cars on it. Maybe. He doesn't, like, we tried to get him to watch Wish with us. He just doesn't, he's not interested. Like, trying to get him to watch Toy Story was, like, pulling his, like, nails off for some reason. He just, he doesn't have the attention span for it, I don't think, still.
I think there's a lot of good ones coming to theaters this fall. There's, like, a Moana 2, Pixar 2, Mufasa, like, all that kind of stuff. So maybe if you,
I want
like,
to see Inside Out, too.
Entice him with it being, like, a theater experience, like, that might be the way.
He did sit for Elemental. So I think it's different when it's at the movies. Because you can't, he can't go anywhere else. He has to sit there. But at home, it's like, I can leave and I can go watch something. I can go watch Octonauts in the other room. So, but yeah, so Cars, like he likes Cars, but won't watch it. So that is, I do think that Cars is still prevalent. And maybe it's because there's not a ton of stuff that's like targeted specifically at boys.
Yeah, that could be. Another thing I think, just thinking of movies coming out, have you either of you guys heard of that movie If yet, with the imaginary creatures, imaginary friends? It's like a big purple guy who sort of looks like the McDonald's character. What was his name?
Grimace
had like a revival this summer, didn't he? Like, did you
yeah
did
every you the
try
shakes.
The purple shake,
apparently it kills you, so
I
there
saw
was like
that
this,
on
like
TikTok.
Yeah, all the lore where like if you drink it in a couple days, you like get murdered, like you're in the ring.
Yeah, this big purple Grimace character. He's got ears.
Yeah, the guy from The Office directed it. The same guy who did A Quiet Place.
Oh, Krasinski. This is yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Steve Carell and
yeah.
Ryan Reynolds, I think, are characters, and then John Krasinski is directing, producing.
How
yeah.
cool for him to be able to go, not like The Office was in any way like not a huge stepping stone, but to go from like a show like The Office to directing these huge movies. I mean, I know A Quiet Place has two sequels, and now this is a whole
cool.
different venture being in like the kids genre. But yeah, there's a lot of things coming out that I want to see. I'm still itching to talk about Dune on here, but I know in good time, with good faith, we will discuss the second part of Dune.
Yeah, I'll see that a second time once it comes to streaming, and it'll probably be a better time to have a discussion when there's just a lot more that's fresh in my mind. Is yeah, hugely thematic, a lot of, you know, just crazy amount of
substance.
commentary, substance, yeah. Everything you would want, you know, thematically in that film. So it's just very dense. So not something I'm in the mood to tackle now. I'm really only able to have somewhat shall we say cursory superficial kinds of conversations right now, I think, with the way things, you know, with the state that my mind is in. So, you know, try to keep things a little light and fluffy in the meantime. But yeah, we got a few months probably before Dune. It's kind of cool how you know, Dune has been a success at the box office, and you know, it did kind of leave on a cliffhanger, so at least yeah, should be able to see plenty more from the world of Arrakis, hopefully.
I think that's the plan for it. At first, I was sort of bummed. I hate when they take a movie, for example, Wicked is coming out later this year, and I just wish it could be one. Like, not even because I just feel like it could be one, but maybe not for like the general public. But you know, the musical, if anyone has seen it, it's one musical. It stresses me out when they need to cut these things into two. But with Dune in particular, I feel like it's okay because the series kind of continues on. Like, they can do a 3 and a 4 and a 5. But with Wicked, I don't know. I feel like it's kind of a money grab to do it twice, but we'll see. Are either of you guys fans, or were you fans of that musical?
Yeah, I could probably sing you all of the songs. A
All right,
cappella,
I'm
both
ready.
parts. Like, I think Scarlett, I mean, obviously Scarlett has never seen Wicked, but like For Good, Divine Gravity,
Popular.
I'm Not That Girl, Popular, all those songs she probably knows by heart. Because I'm like, all right, you sing the other part, I'll sing this part, and this is what we do in the car. But if it's For Good, I'd do both.
I was going to say, who do you like to be the most? Do you like to be Glinda or Elphaba?
I like to do both. I do feel like I like to do both. It's
worst
it's
mom ever. Like you're sitting with your daughter. I'll do both parts.
Well, so I can actually, I can sing from an alto to a high soprano. So I can get away with doing either or. Like I can do the belting parts that Idina Menzel does in like Frozen.
Philip, I don't know if you know this, but Bridget is actually a phenomenal singer. Like she's a great performer as a princess, but if you had to pick like her thing vocally, she's very talented. Like she's not just like tooting her own horn. I mean, she's kind of
like, a little bit.
I'm gonna like also toot her horn that she's a vocalist.
Yeah, I've done like theater and singing, choir singing since I was little, and I've had vocal training, so that's like that's my jam. That's what I wanted to be. But then I was like, you don't make a lot of money unless you get famous. So I did other things. But
first chair princess. Yeah.
I do all the things.
Yeah.
Were you a Wicked person, Philip? I know you like Idina Menzel, but was Wicked.
It is the proto Frozen, certainly. And I've just never seen a full performance of it. I've listened through the soundtrack, but yeah, I mean I like it in theory. I just you know haven't you know somehow eluded me to this point, so I'll be
You probably can't escape some of the updates for the movie though, like Ariana Grande's in it, a lot of really talented actors.
It's front and center, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and then Ariana Grande ran off with the wizard.
No. I that whole love
the
affair,
tea.
It's hard because, I mean, you see this with really huge superstars like Taylor Swift or I don't know very many superstars, but when their love life kind of complicates their image. And I will say for me, knowing that Ariana Grande pursued or like let herself be pursued by a married person, it gave me like the ick. And I hope that I don't carry that ick into watching Wicked because I really want to enjoy it. But I'm curious if I'll look at her and see like Ariana Grande or if I'll see Galinda. Like I'm not sure yet.
Yeah, that's something I'm concerned about because like I know Ariana Grande obviously was an actress. And so I'm like, that's what she was first. And so I'm hopeful that she doesn't sing like she usually does. I hope she sings. Like, I hope she did like Broadway training singing to do this movie. Because if she comes out there with some whispery, mumbled, popular, I'm a nut up. I will nut up. And then I will be like, we're walking out. We're leaving right now. Because I'm like, I'll be so disappointed if she messes that up. Because obviously, like, I guess when I was exposed to Wicked is when I was in theater in high school. So I'm like, she has big shoes to fill. Kristen Chenoweth and Idina Menzel were the first Wicked people I knew. So I'm
and
like,
those are the biggest shoes possible. Like,
yeah, you can't mess this up. Like, granted, they weren't, like, at the time, they weren't super big stars. They are now. You can't mess this up. You can't mess it up.
So what happened? Jeff Goldblum plays the wizard, so he and
wizard, the guy that they're fighting over. I mean,
Fierro.
Fierro. Jonathan Bailey is this actor. I don't know what else he does.
He's from Broadway. Okay.
He was also
he's done,
SpongeBob SquarePants.
He's SpongeBob, yeah, in the Broadway performance of SpongeBob.
Wow!
And I want to say he was like in Pippin, if I remember correctly. He's mostly from Broadway because they did pull some Broadway people over for the movie that are not typical like movie actors.
Okay. Well, I don't know
that's where he came from. And he was married and now he's not. No, he's with Ariana Grande. Yikes.
Everything is kind of commodified now to such an extreme degree. You know, everything's a product franchise or everything's kind of got the sheen to it. You know, whether it's released on, you know, especially if it's something made for streaming, but also, you know, theatrically as well. It's, you know, all these studios and entertainment conglomerates are trying to just be these massive content generators. So it'll be interesting to see how this is marketed, if it's explicitly going to be titled Wicked Part One. Right now on IMDb, it's just called Wicked.
But we know that there's, we know that it's going to be in two parts. I do believe they filmed it all together. Like they didn't film part one and take a break, film part two. But I'm not sure.
I mean, so in prior eras, they wouldn't be too afraid to release some, you know, this type of epic Broadway musical adaptation as a, you know, 3-hour-ish film. You know, there was the thing back to like the Fiddler on the Roof movie, which was, you know, one of those classic double wide VHS
Titanic.
Cases. Well, that's not a musical, but
Sorry, I was just double VHS.
Yeah, the dual VHS pack, you know. I mean, Camelot, I think, was a dual VHS. Like, that was a popular phenomenon back in the day. You'd have an intermission during the movie. But, yeah, it'd be an unusual call nowadays. However, not one that would be unprecedented in our current era as a template for success, because, you know, we had Oppenheimer as an epic 3-hour marathon of a film last year that was
and
one
Dune
of them.
2 was super long. I think that
was like 2.5 hours.
Still an example of splitting adapted work into two parts, but, you know, it's a very dense novel, so. Yeah, one film for the entirety of Dune is just that's
you're gonna be here for 8 hours.
A futile
you're
endeavor.
Gonna love it.
Well,
you're gonna like it.
I mean, David Lynch attempted it, but it didn't really pay off, and there was a lot that got left out of that adaptation back in the 80s. So, no, this was smart to have, you know, 2.5 hour plus films, you know, multiple of them to tell this story with Dune, and it caught people's attention. With Wicked, I don't know the subject material well enough to know if splitting that into two parts is going to work necessarily for audiences. Unless they are able to incorporate a lot of new world building that might be able to hook audiences beyond just like the music from the Broadway musical, which I know kind of tapers off towards the end more so rather than the climax is so much at the very finale of that play, because obviously the centerpiece is the defying gravity piece, which is what is anticipated to kind of cap off this first film.
I was just gonna say, I wonder where they're going to end it, but maybe you know, Bridget, but is that where they end right before intermission typically?
I think so. So that's what I was wondering, like if they'll do it kind of how the Broadway show does it, where they will just end the first movie where intermission would begin. But I feel like a lot of the good songs, like that people want, are going to be in the first movie.
It's so front loaded.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm like. I mean, I guess you have For Good at the end.
Maybe they'll leave popular and just throw it in at the very end and just see how that works for the storyline.
Or maybe they'll push Defying Gravity to the next movie, so then people have to watch it.
Yeah, I mean
maybe
I could
start
see
out with that. That would, like, as a big opener somehow, where she...
What, they do, like, a flashback? It's like her Defying Gravity and then flashback.
Yeah, maybe.
It's one of those, you wonder how I got here, let me tell you.
Opening second movie.
Yeah. But I don't know. If you start the movie like that and you don't keep that energy, would it just kind of, like, crash... I don't know.
I'm sure that there's a lot of experts like thinking it through, because
when I imagine they have like feedback from Broadway and stuff too, kind of to see like, does it kill the energy to stop at certain places?
Speaking of like throwing, I was like thinking of how Ariana Grande is like going in. There's also a movie coming out, and I'm not sure if it's a sequel, but I think I sent Philip the trailer, but the new Joker movie has Lady Gaga in it.
She's Harley Quinn.
Yeah, she's Harley Quinn. Does anyone follow that? Is that going to be a direct sequel? Like, is
It's a sequel. I haven't actually seen the first one, but I do know it's a
Oh,
sequel.
really? I mean, it's
It's
a
gonna have
bomb.
Joaquin Phoenix and everything.
I think Philip will like agree with me. Like, you don't watch it and feel well afterwards. So like, pick your
Yeah, that's
timing.
kind of why I didn't watch it. I was like, I don't
Yeah.
know, man. This seems like dark, and it doesn't seem like it gets better. I feel like you have to be in a certain
Doesn't get
mood.
better. You like leave, you just feel kind of meh. But I still want to see this next part, obviously, because I don't know if Lady Gaga has been in anything else as an actress.
Well, she was in Star Is Born. She was in American Horror Story. Oh,
Oh,
see,
I haven't seen it.
I haven't watched it either because I heard it's kind of similar. It's like kind of sad. So I'm like, I do know the songs from it, but I'm like, heard it's sad. And then yeah, she was in American Horror Story. I've seen her in that. I
Just
don't know if
like
she's been in anything else.
I couldn't keep up with American Horror Story. I think the time that I started watching it, there was like the House on the Hill or something that came out, Hill House. But
Oh,
it was
that's
like
different. Haunting
it
of
was
Hill
when
House. Yeah.
Haunting of Hill
Yeah,
House.
that's different.
I think it was trying to watch them at a similar time, and I was like, this is like too much. You know, like one was really, really gloomy and like sad, and then the other one was like traumatizing. So it was not the right mix for me.
Yeah, she was in Hotel. She was like a like the vampire. She's like a vampire lady. She kills people. I don't know.
Yeah, the
But
only
it was like
thing
honestly,
I've
I was like, she's
seen
kind of quirky, so it worked out for her.
I've
And
seen A
Margot
Star
Robbie
Is
was like
Born.
the most recent Harley Quinn that I've seen. Birds of Prey, she was in, and I mean,
Suicide Squad.
Suicide Squad. I much well, you know, I was just gonna say I prefer her as Barbie, but I think I loved her in those movies as well. She's just there's something about her as an actress that just like captivates like men and women alike, I think.
She's well-rounded.
She's well-rounded.
Yeah, there are certain films that are going to be marketed as the big events of this year, and to an extent, that is kind of how we've evolved as a film-going audience, to where there are just these certain tentpole films that keep gaining steam throughout the run. And others that really fall flat. And Joker was one, back when it was originally released. I think the first one was like 2018. It just was such a sensation. So now this is, Warner Brothers is hoping that Folie à Deux, the sequel, is going to be their next Barbie, basically. This year, can one Harley Quinn take the reins from the previous Harley Quinn? Margot Robbie being the star of last year's summer box office, and Lady Gaga playing a role previously occupied by Margot. And then now, it's been 5 years since that original Joker. I'm just gonna double check because
I feel like it was before COVID.
it was definitely before COVID, but it was actually 2019, which was such
Okay.
a huge year for the box office. I was like, no, it was Joker 2019. That year seems so crowded, but yeah, 2019. It's still been 5 years. It's 2024 now.
Yeah, I'll
It'll
be
be
five
big, but yeah,
soon.
I don't know.
I like how you guys reference the timeline of the world as before COVID and after COVID. And it makes me think of like BC and AD, you know, like before Christ, after Christ, or whatever. I was like, but now our generation's like BC before COVID.
Well, if talking about movies, I mean, it was just such a clear inflection point for film, and cinema going.
Oh, totally.
I don't know,
Yeah,
in
because it went
a
from like
way.
I know this was during COVID because I remember watching it on my TV. That's how like I remember certain movies like Mulan, Encanto. Gosh, what else? One of the Trolls movies. We watched so many movies like at home. I think that, I don't know that we watched Black Widow, the new Black Widow movie. We watched that one
I think
at
Mulan
home.
was the first one that I gave in, and I was like, you know what? I'll just pay. And I think we were maybe doing a podcast episode on it, and so I was like, I'm just gonna pay it, whatever. And I was like, well, that didn't hit the same. And I didn't know if it was because it was Mulan, and it just like not no Mulan's amazing, but I didn't know if it was the movie or if it was the atmosphere.
For me, it was the movie. I thought it was good, but I had certain expectations coming from the first Mulan, which I loved and is like a staple of my childhood. And I'm like, and I get what they were doing, but I was like, but it wasn't fun. I didn't have fun watching it. I wasn't having a fun time. Where's
I
Be
know.
a Man? A
Well,
girl we're fighting for. Come on.
I don't think there was any songs. And now they're
No,
doing.
there weren't.
Actually, speaking of like live actions, Ryan and I, our first date was to the Lion King live action, which was blah, but they're making Mufasa this year,
I don't
which
understand.
I don't know what Mufasa's movie is going to
All
be
right.
about.
Well, the first one, it all boils down to dollars and cents, really. Ultimately, I mean, there's no absolutes when it comes to stuff, but if you have a movie like the Lion King live action adaptation, which made $1 billion, there's no reason not to make a sequel to that in the conventional accounting sense. So yeah, I mean, they're they're given that whole conceit another go, as much as sort of the popular narrative surrounding that live action Lion King, the faux live action, is that it's just not a very compelling format in which to present, these anthropomorphic creatures on screen.
I know they need cuter eyes. Maybe they'll learn
I don't
from
know.
the first go around and they'll make them a little more like
But maybe
alive.
the general public is more open to it than, I don't know, a lot of the cultural critics would indicate.
Yeah.
People maybe just like to see animals and animals who speak and their mouths move. And I don't know, there's a certain charm
I
to.
mean, people definitely love to see animals. Do you remember? I know Philip would remember because we watched some in our AP bio class, but Bridget, like the planet Earth, how that like shook the world when the Planet Earth series came out. And
Yeah.
it showed all these different, I think it was like the wetlands, the savanna, the whatever. It was like different, like seven different episodes. And
So
people
yeah,
like
say
feel that.
what if the animals in Planet Earth spoke? That is kind of
You're
a
right.
fun idea.
People do love to see, especially on the big screen, like the big majestic lions running and through the jungles.
Yeah.
You're
Yeah,
right.
what
You're
are
right.
what are their inner lives? I mean, obviously they're anthropomorphized so that they have human conflicts and emotions, but they're not animated to such a degree where those emotions really break the reality of what the these what a cat. A lion, is capable of emoting physically either. So it's just a certain balance. I don't know. I was used to, well, there have been movies that have been marketed purely on, anthropomorphic characteristics like mouths moving in the trailers, for example. I just heard some folks discussing this on a podcast, but like the movies Kangaroo Jack and
Oh.
Snow Dogs both
Oh
have
my God.
sequences
It's so
where
old.
the animals talk, but they're dream sequences. But these were heavily featured in the trailers and marketing for each of these films. This is a good example of a conversation about animation, because yeah, that involves a heavy amount of computer animation when you apply that mouth movement filter over a real life animal. And it was sort of misleading when these early 2000s films would do this, because these are characters that ultimately don't aren't anthropomorphized in the film overall, just during these kind of fantasy sequences,
sequences. Huh.
provided that are mainly kind of just a basis for marketing and
Yeah, I
trying
was
to
going to
sell the
say they
movie.
tricked and trapped the audience to come on in to see these talking kangaroos, and like lo and behold, there wasn't any talking kangaroos. They said it's going to be like Scooby-Doo, and then it wasn't. Or you know, you could have a series like Planet of the Apes, where like the first movie, they're very animalistic. Like I don't even think they say anything in the first Planet of the Apes. Maybe like a word,
No, there's
but now we're at like Kingdom of Planet of the Apes, and like they're ready to go to war. They're human.
very little ape dialogue in those in that trilogy, Rise, War, Kingdom. Is that what? No.
Kingdom's coming
Dawn.
out this year.
Yeah, Kingdom is
Yeah,
this
there's one
year.
coming out this year.
Yeah, it was
I will say, yeah.
Rise of the Planet of the Apes, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, and then War for the Planet of the Apes. Kind of a weird choice in titles for those films that perhaps should have been better thought out, because it's hard to know which one you're really talking about of that trilogy. But I'm pretty sure War was the last one. It just sounds the most escalated, I guess, of the three. So I think that's the order in which they came out. But what happened is, or what was noteworthy, I think, about that first Rise of the Planet of the Apes film with James Franco is there's a scene where you do get a human sense of emotion from Caesar, the main computer animated ape played by Andy Serkis, just in one shot, basically in the trailer. And it's kind of cool. It's just him, the cameras panning around. It's he's just kind of sitting there, and then all of a sudden he looks up and he looks like he's conscious, like he's sentient, as opposed to just some
Monkey.
non-sentient animal creature. So it's just one look, basically, versus anything spoken. And I thought that was a really effective example of communicating this traditionally non-sentient creature attaining self-awareness in just one instant. And it was just so kind of stripped back and intimate. So I like things like that. It was very artistic. But yeah, something like this, these Lion King films, like that's very operatic. There's nothing subtle about that. But it could do well. Avatar has a strong, cultural draw whenever a new one of those comes out, even though within sort of the nerd zeitgeist sphere, people aren't clamoring for, Avatar lore like they do other kind of nerd franchises. So who knows what the general public's going to embrace ultimately.
I'll
Sorry
tell you
for
what
my
the general
rambling.
public. No, I was just gonna say, I know what the general public is clamoring for. Bluey live action. Because, like I said, I've been researching these parents and what they like and what
Oh,
like
no.
animated things are popping off the charts. And like, there's Cars and all the Disney stuff. But Bridget, right? Your kid was a Bluey kid, or you're a Bluey
Oh,
family?
he's still a Bluey kid. We haven't watched the newest episode because I heard it's sad and I don't want to watch it. So I'm not watching it.
Philip, have you heard of this cartoon? It's probably geared towards
It's
5 and 6 and 7 year olds,
well,
maybe.
it's so ubiquitous that even if
You can't avoid it.
the film, the inevitable live action adaptation just
These
totally
little
missed the
Australian
mark.
dogs.
Even if it totally missed the mark artistically, critically, It would still make, you
Oh,
know,
yeah.
gobs of money. And like some, you never know when something's going to be a phenomenon, but something as big as Bluey will be for sure. And I think it was similar with the Paw Patrol movie, like that made, well, that was the second movie too. So that was already proven as a cinematic franchise. It's much more fun when, you know, you have sort of an unproven entity that then makes good on being given a shot on the big screen. I don't know.
I see what you're saying. It'd be like if Bluey hadn't had its little like TV show, like, and millions of Bluey fans, but if they had just like come out with a movie called Bluey and then people went crazy for it,
Yeah,
yeah.
the Bluey movie could totally suck and still be, you know, and we could still see 10 of them just because they're profitable.
My
I mean,
nephew
look at
really
Paw
loved
Patrol. Paw Patrol has two
it. Yeah.
movies. They have video games. So Bluey also has a video game. We played it on the Xbox. It's Yeah, I
on the
know.
Game Pass.
Yeah.
Is it hard? So we played it. No, But is it
it's
hard? Like, is
cute.
it for little kids?
No. Yeah.
Because the
Like, so
Paw
you can
Patrol one is
play.
hard for my.
So we
Yeah, and
play the
I've been a
racing one
defender
together.
of the people hate on the Super Mario Brothers movie, which made all the money in the world.
I liked
I've been a defender of that. I thought it was fun. I kind of, that's an ASMR movie for me.
Does that mean you just like the sounds? I can
It,
only
no,
think of
it's
TikTok where they're
just
like.
it's so non-threatening and comforting. It's just comfort food, really.
Yeah, like it like scratches your brain in a good way. I
Yeah.
really liked the Mario movie, and my kids also loved it. We saw it at the drive-in. It
Oh,
was super cute.
cute. Yeah,
Yeah,
I
it was
mean, I
really
haven't
cute.
seen it since theaters. I did see it twice in theaters, but like I had a good time with it. It obviously isn't saying anything important. It's not trying to be profound, like, you know, a Pixar film, and even like Puss in Boots, of course, had a lot of great ideas and, you know,
No, you're not like crying your
subtext.
eyes out at the
Yeah.
end. You're not healing from generational trauma.
I don't
You're just
know.
having a good time.
There's stuff going on, and I mean,
Right.
it's a Nintendo property. You know, those Japanese, they can't produce a piece of content without it being brimming with all sorts of, you know, hidden lore. So even if it's a very Americanized version of that, you know, the iconography alone has enough to dig into to be interesting. And it, you know, it wasn't a total misfire, narratively. You know, however you spin it, it was just kind of bland. People think, whatever. I'm not gonna die on any hills defending it. I just, you know, that's a case where failure was almost impossible. Whereas you have other things that, you know, are trying to be surefire hits, and they do fail miserably, like, you know, Madam Web. Even the latest Ghostbusters movies sort of underperformed a little bit. They're trying to, you know, I recently saw that, and, you know, there's so much of the famous iconography that only gets sort of a short shrift in this latest Frozen Empire film, which I didn't think was great either. So if they never make another Ghostbusters film, I won't be disappointed in the least.
I didn't watch
Are they
any of them.
making another one? Or are you talking about the
Well,
latest one they made?
they teased that the next Ghostbusters film will more heavily feature like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. It'll probably be a bit more of a nostalgia fest than even this one was.
Yeah.
But, you know, then they might try to do like some multiversal hopping and bring in the Lady Ghostbusters from the SNL
I feel like they're just gonna
Ghostbusters.
ignore them, like they never happened.
But everything now is able to have like a nostalgic factor if you give it enough time, even if it was hated upon initial reception. You just let something just sort of breathe in the popular consciousness for long enough, and, you know, there'll be fans that, you know, that resurrect it to some extent. So I don't think people, and people like Kristen Wiig, people like Kate McKinnon, Melissa McCarthy,
yeah,
Leslie Jones.
Jones.
Leslie
Okay, I was
Jones.
like Leslie something.
Like people,
Chris Hemsworth,
they
he was in
could
it
be
too.
welcome in they it would be there would have to be some justification as to why they're appearing now in the original Ghostbusters chronology, but there's just it's just part of the template for these nerd films.
Yeah, these nostalgic
Nerd
nerds.
films.
Well, you were. Oh, sorry.
Well, the whole multiverse concept, I was just gonna say.
Like the multiverse, that's when like all the Spider-Mans can come together and exist in the same place, right?
I hope they never do that with Star Wars, just because Star Wars works as its own contained galaxy. I would rather just see, and a lot of people talk about how they would rather just see new stories told within that broader galactic context than just the same stories being rehashed with the same characters, which tends to make the universe feel small and insignificant. When really what sold Star Wars from the beginning was that it felt so massive, even though you only got kind of a small glimpse of it. It was just such a realized alternate reality for people to step into. And then that breaks down the more you sort of defy people's suspension of disbelief. You break this verisimilitude of the film world, which isn't such a big deal, the fourth wall, so to speak. Because to an extent you're watching a movie, but if you can maintain that verisimilitude, there's certain magic to be gained there, that believability that just kind of adds a whole layer of immersion for people to really take these stories and have them become a part of like your internal psychology and sort of spiritual essence in a way. This the Joseph Campbell hero with a thousand faces sort of philosophy.
Well, yeah, I was gonna say, I feel like the Harry Potter universe, they tried to do that. And I feel like had they, like with Fantastic Beasts, had they just told different stories that didn't have to include, Dumbledore and Grindelwald and all these people, I think it would have been better. The stories could have been better. They could have made up something new. But I feel like the last movie just felt like they were setting up another movie for people we already are familiar with. And it kind of like, I think that you can have new stories within a world that exists, kind of like with Star Wars. Because I feel like they kind of like with Mandalorian, I think they started getting a little convoluted trying to include characters that already exist into The
It
Mandalorian.
helps or it
It like
works
muddies it a
to,
little bit.
yeah, it can break the immersion when it's a clear marketing ploy to bring in iconography that's going to be familiar to the broadest audience possible. Whereas people who really truly engage with these things, and it's a wide net of people who really do like truly engage with some of these popular franchises, because that's how they became so popular in the first place. They were able to capture the imaginations of millions of moviegoers, or television viewers. But the more, certain cynical moves tend to be made, and these decisions are made based on, well, we want to be able to keep these things going, keep that income stream active, bolster our streaming numbers, then those kinds of decisions are going to have a counterproductive effect on people's ability to imaginatively engage with the world, because the world then feels less real.
Yeah, like that's
Ultimately.
how we saw the last, like, I liked the first Fantastic Beasts, and I was obviously familiar with it because I grew up with Harry Potter. I grew up reading the books.
Yeah.
I've read parts of the Fantastic Beasts book that they
When
made.
you're reading those books,
And it's
there's
just
this
so
weird,
messy.
yeah, but I just remember, opening up a Harry Potter book, and it feels like you're there in a way that few things are capable of capturing.
Yeah, it's like a whole world, especially now that you can like go somewhere where it's like a simulated version of the world, even though it's obviously it's not it, but it's like it's enough that it's like Scarlett's. She has the first two books. She's only read part of the first one, but we went and she was like, "This place is so cool, like it's a whole immersive experience." And I'm like, and I want her to watch the movies because I know they're gonna make that show, and I'm like, "You have to watch the movies first because these are the originals."
That's where
But
the real money is made, and that's where you
yeah.
get the word of mouth penetration that will never come through just, oh, Bluey is big, let's make a movie of that. Well, how did
Yeah.
Bluey get big in the first place? It was because of people discovering that show and realize, oh, there's more here than just trying to
Talking
keep
puppies.
kids, yeah.
Trying to keep
So,
them entertained for 5 seconds.
yeah.
Well, and it
So
was like one of those shows that you can also watch as an adult and not want to rip your face off. Because half of these cartoons are just fart jokes and loud screaming.
how do I get my kid to
And
shut up for half an hour?
it yeah. Here, these move so quickly that you don't have a second to be distracted by anything else. So yeah, and so I'm like, yeah, like it kind of sucks that it's like they try to make these universes, and I do think that they could be successful, but they're just like, oh, we got to tie into the original stuff. And I'm like, you don't. There is enough stuff here that you could just make another storyline that doesn't affect the original storyline. We don't need to see this weird Nazi-esque world that was happening in a 1930s wizard land. I don't need to see that. I want to see Newt Scamander walking around with his little creatures doing shenanigans, being silly, getting into hijinks. I think that would have been so much better, like received for like Harry Potter. And like I liked The Mandalorian, but I still feel like that's kind of convoluted, I guess, is the best word I
Well,
can think of.
you do need a certain element of that familiarity. Sometimes it gets pejoratively referred to as fan service, and there's good fan service and there's bad fan service. But as long as you're maintaining that feel of the world and its sort of internal consistency, you can have a significant amount of, what you could refer to as fan service without breaking the reality of the world. Because it really is all about kind of the ethos and the that sense of discovery within the world that, can be preserved and maintained through a variety of ways and not just throwing in various, member berries, South Park calls them, these,
Yeah.
oh, do you
Yeah.
recognize this? Recognize this? Yeah.
Yeah. Do you see that? Did you see what we did? We put it in there for you. Did you see
Yeah.
it?
No, there's ways to do it that are effective. And it does depend also on kind of how starved people are for more of this stuff. And people, I think, aren't going to be as heavily clamoring for a lot of things nowadays, because I think we are so heavily immersed in franchise content. I know, like, Star Wars fan service used to be so much more readily accepted because there was a time when fans felt starved for Star Wars media. As an example, but nowadays I think people's radars are much more calibrated to, like, oh, is this trying to scratch a certain itch in me, or is this being cynical and trying to just get people to show up because they recognize a certain popular face or element? So the landscape has to kind of evolve with the times where nowadays, people have so much stuff that they can turn to, and as there's a lot more risk involved.
Yeah,
But
well, that's
that
what, like, when we,
it
I was
makes
gonna
it
say, when we
more
saw
difficult, yeah.
Dune, yeah. Well, we saw Dune and we were watching the trailers, and every single trailer, every single one was like a remake or a sequel or a spinoff. And I was just like, and which honestly, though, I mean, Dune is technically a remake and it is based on a book, but like, yeah. At least it's different. At least it's good. And like Barbie, technically based on a thing that exists, but it was still good. And so I'm like, we've kind of been struggling with that and like the stuff that we watch. And I think that's why we've been like consuming so much like anime, and I watch a lot of documentaries, but just because like
fresh.
Yeah, it's different. Like there's so many, especially because, you know, anime is animation. So there's like so many different things. And then like there are shows that are similar, but like, you know, well, these, they're set in, you know, medieval China. I just watched The Apothecary Diaries and it was like a mystery comedy, like a little bit of a rom-com. And it was so funny. Like I was like, oh, this is so cute. I laughed out loud a few times. And it's a series on Crunchyroll. But I was like, oh, like this is so nice and refreshing. I like watching that
movie
that.
If coming. You know, yeah, If is coming, and Stuntman, is that what it's called? The stunt guy?
Oh, the Fall Guy?
The Fall Guy, yeah.
That looks funny. I do want to see that. I love Ryan Reynolds, though.
So these are, like, original properties, so who knows?
Even though I can't say too much. I want to see Inside Out 2 really bad, so... Yeah, but I really liked Inside Out. Yeah, the
I
first
want to see
one.
Twister, and they're like remaking Twister. So here's the thing: there's room for both. There's room for all. Like you said, like you can like the sequels, you can enjoy it, but it is hard when you look at the lineup and you're like, "Wow, this is all like regurgitation," you know. So they have to keep in some fresh stuff and to keep consumers happy. Otherwise, we're all going to just start watching anime.
Yeah, I know. You guys will all just be a bunch of weebs. Bunch of otaku. Well, that's like, we watched Wish, and honestly I feel like I was kind of cynical in regards to Wish just off of things I had heard, but we watched it and I actually thought it was really cute. I didn't love all the songs, but I was like, oh, this is really cute and it is something new. And I actually saw memes about it that it was like, oh, we want new things, and then it gives them Wish and they're like, no, I don't want that.
Yeah, not that.
But I was like, it was a really cute movie. Like, because that Scarlett had heard the music on Spotify and she was like, I don't know if I want to watch that. And then we watched it and we were like, oh yeah, that was good. We
it's
liked
derivative.
That. It was a good
movie. It's an inherently derivative film of the previous Disney iconography, but in a way that's not trying to be obvious either.
Yeah, it was like, well, Easter eggs.
It's trying to just like nod. It's trying to nod to those things more.
You
than,
have the fairy godmother moment though at the end, which is fairy
godmother. Well, she has her cloak. When she's running from the king, she has the cloak. And I was like, oh my gosh, she looks like the fairy godmother. And at the end, she gets the wand. And I was like, she is the fairy godmother.
But, you know, she's not the fairy godmother, you know, unless she somehow turned into, I mean, Asha, you know, brimful of Asha. She's a black Latina, right? In the film.
Yeah.
And, you know, so this is clearly a very different world from these other, you know, classic fairy tale adaptations from the original, you know, the animated classics from the 40s and 50s. And
she's like the OG fairy godmother. Maybe she trained the other ones. That's what I want to believe.
It just gets confusing. I'm just like, I don't know. Maybe just don't put in any obvious iconic imagery that is the identical imagery to what came before, because it does get a little murky when some things are the thing and then other things really aren't the thing.
Well, it was funny that when we watched it, though, because like the bear was called John, and I was like, obviously that is from Robin Hood, because he's Father John. And then they had Bambi, the deer Bambi. Scarlett was like, Bambi, I know Bambi. I was like, wow, they really went straight for that one. They were
I
like, we're not even gonna.
On a rainy day, I need to rewatch it because I can't remember any of that. For me, it was just like I watched it because of our job, and I was like, I need to watch it. But that sounds kind of cute. I must have
It was cute. I would say be open-minded, because like Godfrey wasn't super fussed with it. But I was like, you have to look at it from the eyes of like a kid, though. Because like I imagine if we all went back and watched all the Disney movies that existed when we were kids, they probably aren't like, I mean, some of them are, but they probably aren't all as like fabulous as we remember. We just remember them with like, you know, the nostalgia glasses, because we watched it. Yeah, we watched it. Like, my favorite movie when I was a kid was Drop Dead Fred. I'm sure if I watch that now, it's probably really cringe. but it was my favorite movie.
I should maybe not be so harsh on Easter eggs, because that's kind of how things are kind of going nowadays too. Like, we had the Halloween trilogy recently that picked up after the first Halloween, ignoring everything that came in between. And it's like, so it's hard to really keep on a consistent internal, like, canon to things. It's kind of impossible. So you have to kind of pick and choose what elements you want to retain from a franchise or a previous story. Another weird example of this, of a film that came out this year was Argylle.
Oh, I never saw that.
Yeah, and there
it was like it was about a spy, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, it's a spy movie. Samuel L. Jackson is in it. Sam Rockwell is the main spy character. Bryce Dallas Howard is the sort of femme fatale character. And,
Henry Cavill, he's in it,
Henry
right?
Cavill's in it.
Yeah, I like Henry Cavill.
Yeah, Bryce Dallas Howard is this spy thriller novelist who finds herself embroiled in her own spy, real life espionage incident. But there are some post credit sequences, that hint that this is also somehow connected to the Kingsman franchise, but it doesn't really make sense because, well, all the meta elements of Argylle are kind of unclear, because you're seeing sequences that are the fictional works of this author, but then there's all kinds of weird twists and turns that kind of even muddy some of those fourth wall elements as well. And Samuel L. Jackson was the villain in the first Kingsman movie, and he's a very much different character in Argylle. So it's like it's like shoehorning these references just to get people talking. That's really what it is. It is to generate conversation, create buzz. It's like, oh,
yeah,
how
they
is
need to
this
be trending
related to this? Yeah, and
in all forms.
It could be just pure nonsense. Like with Argylle, it was pure nonsense, and that's what people were saying afterwards. Like, the way they're trying to connect these two franchises, it makes zero sense ultimately. And unfortunately, it's working, because now I'm talking about it with you right now.
I was going to say the buzz has been buzzed. Yeah.
Well, it's funny because, like, I mean, I had seen trailers for Argylle. I didn't like run out to see it. I honestly kind of forgot about it. I did like the Kingsman movies. I don't think I saw the most. I don't think I saw the latest one.
I have seen,
but I did like the original. Yeah.
I hated the
I've
second.
I've seen the original,
one.
But I didn't know they were attached. I don't know. That's kind of weird.
Yeah, I rarely have a difficult time engaging with movies. The whole ASMR mindset, and I'm sorry, I'm kind of hijacking this entire episode. I'm still sore over the whole Zoom payment thing. So we're gonna have to do this more often so I can get my money's worth. But I'm not gonna contest. I've been dealing too much with contesting payments. Whatever, you take my $16 Zoom.
I'll Venmo you.
It's not if you want. I mean, it's just not worth the hassle of trying to deal with their customer. After I went through all the effort of putting my membership on pause and trying to save money that way, it's just whatever. No, so I'm on a tear right now. It's just been too long since I've done one of these podcasts. So sorry if Mama's sort of taken the reins a little bit right now, but just Here I am talking to two moms.
Yeah,
I'm
which
referring to
mom?
myself as the big
Well,
mom
I'd rather you say
the
mom than
podcast.
like big daddy. That would make it weird. So
yeah.
You're like,
I'm
oh yes, big daddy over here
the
taking
queen bee of the
the
thoughtcast,
show.
Philip, the host, the and creator of it. And it's just, whatever. I put so little effort into this anyway, is that it's kind of sad. But what was I talking about?
You were saying you didn't really like the second Kingsman. And we were
Oh,
talking about how they're like weirdly connected to that Argylle
well,
movie.
but I can enjoy a movie as just kind of noise if ultimately it falls flat narratively for me. But actively disliking a film is something that's kind of a rare experience, thankfully. But that was like an example of a movie I found myself actively disliking while watching it. And I wonder if that is also because I'm a very temperamental person, obviously, based on, any amount of, behind the scenes references I make into my to life outside the podcast. But like, would often have a hard time engaging with movies when I was younger and really finding ones that I thought were, really worthwhile and transcendent, like a lot of films from, say, Pixar or Star Wars, especially movies that were appropriate for someone who wasn't going out to see R-rated movies, as I certainly wasn't when I was a youth. So I was like, oh, so many stuff kind of just feels so lame compared to the stuff that's great, the Spielberg movies of the world and the Christopher Nolan movies of the world and the Pixar films. And then once the Disney animated films started to kind of pick up steam, I was like, I started to become really impressed with how those became a much more narratively rich and dense with subtext. And, you can dig into the substance and philosophy of those films much more so. But nowadays, I can throw on just your typical Hollywood programmer and have a decent time just kind of picking it apart more so. And that comes with kind of just ever accelerating my own film education overall. So yeah, just like finding myself actively disliking a film is sort of a rare phenomenon. And I don't know, that second Kingsman movie was a weird one that just kind of got my goat a little bit, and I wonder if I would feel the same way if I watched it again. But always
Yeah.
noteworthy when that happens. I think it was because, and similar to Argylle, I think I felt similarly kind of disengaged watching that because a lot of it just felt very dismissive of, I don't know, of true creative choices, ultimately.
Yeah, they just kind of like run off of what the other movies have. And that, which I kind of feel the same way. Like there's not many movies that I've watched and been like, oh, I hated that. I honestly can't think of movies that I'm like, yep, nope, hated that. They like, 'cause even all the live action shenanigans, I have watched them and they were something that I was like, oh, like I'm not mad I watched it. It's just like it could have been better, but it's fine. Like The Lion King was fine. I just found it kind of boring. But I wouldn't say I hated it. So yeah, I guess I'm like trying like to scratch my brain real hard to see if there's like, is there anything I hated?
I was
I can't really
actively
think of anything
disliking.
like hard.
Yeah, sorry. I keep so we're intruding.
No, what did you actively
And
dislike? I need to
well,
know.
speaking of Lion King, the Jungle Book movie from Jon
Oh, I didn't
Favreau.
watch it. I
Okay.
didn't watch it.
That was one I felt, just, and I was watching it immediately following a screening of Hardcore Henry. It was rarely do I watch movies back to back in theaters, and rarely, well, but I did that recently, and I can't remember what with, but it was a good time. So I'm gonna have to think now on what two movies I did watch twice or watch in the same day. and remember it not bothering
Was it
you.
Oppenheimer and Barbie?
Wasn't that?
Most people were champions. That would have been the way to do it, though.
Oh, we considered it, and then we were like, "That's so long.
It's a
I
lot of sitting.
remember,
It's a long, like,
and I,
sit."
yeah, I and I wasn't even feeling well particularly. I was kind of sick. I've been kind of sick for a few months now, just more than usual. And but I watched Godzilla Minus One, great movie. And then later that same day, saw The Boy and the Heron for the second time. Both were second
Oh, I
time
still haven't
viewings.
seen it.
Yeah.
Oh, you still have? Oh, yeah, because we couldn't find it anywhere. I wonder if it's going to come out on streaming. Well, and so I honestly, you want to know why I think I haven't watched, like, I can't think of any movies that I've hated, is because if I think I'm not going to like something, I will put off seeing it. There are so many movies and things that I have, like, put off. Like, I haven't watched Wonka. I've heard it's cute, but I've heard that from kids who've never even seen
Oh,
the
love
original.
Anka.
I know, and I keep hearing it's good, so I'm like, I should just do it. It was kind of the same thing with Wish. I was afraid that I wasn't gonna like it, and then I was like, like, I still haven't seen The Little Mermaid. I haven't seen the new one.
What?
I don't like the songs. I've heard the songs on Spotify, and I hate them in comparison to the old ones. I hate them. Other than I do like Halle Berry, that, or is it Haley Berry? Bailey. What is her name? Haley
Halle
Bailey?
Bailey, I think.
It's something.
It's very
It's
close to
something.
Halle Berry, though. Or
Yeah,
Yeah, it's similar.
it's Halle Bailey.
Haley,
It's
Halle
Halle. It
Bailey.
is Halle Bailey, but no, you're getting at something which is just endemic of our modern simulacrum of a society in which we live.
Yeah, there's like just so much.
Everything is everywhere all at once, shall we say.
Yes.
Everything is derivative of something else.
Yeah. Like,
I
I
don't
do
know.
like her versions of the songs. I've heard the other ones, though. Like, we listened to Poor Unfortunate Souls on
Yeah.
Spotify because Scarlett watched it and she loves it. And she loves the Scuttlebutt song. That song makes me want to rip
Oh
my face off.
gosh. It's so inconsiderate
But
of me to refer
they,
to a person as derivative of another person. I
yeah.
don't mean that about
They
Halle
love putting
Bailey.
Aquafina. They love putting Aquafina in those freaking
She's
movies, I swear.
derivative of herself because
I
she's in
know.
everything.
Everything she's in, it's like The Rock. When The Rock is in a movie, he is The Rock. He is not a character. He
Yeah,
is The Rock.
I still
Like
haven't
that.
seen Kung Fu Panda 4, but I mean that'll be
I
out
haven't
on
either.
Peacock or something, in no time, so
Well, see,
I
I love
can
Jack
wait.
Black, so I feel like I'll give that a chance if it comes on streaming. I do like Jack Black, but I'm like, I'm just like,
And
we listened to the songs. I was like, this isn't as good as the other songs. Kiss the Girls, not as good as the original. So now I don't want to watch it because I'm like, I just have a feeling I'm going to judge it the
they needed to
whole
bring in
time. Which
Ashley Tisdale to do Kiss the Girl. Do you remember the Ashley Tisdale Kiss
yeah.
the Girl rendition? Oh, that would have been
Oh
awesome.
yeah, I remember I watched Disney during that time where they would like all the commercials would be like one of them singing one of the Disney songs. Oh yeah, an era.
Speaking of an era, I am in my mom era and I can literally hear my baby making the sound that goes like this, click, click, click. And that means he's like within 5 minutes gonna be screaming.
Oh
So
yeah.
I
No,
like a
I
bomb because of the era that I'm in. Like I think I best attend because like he goes like this. And I don't know why, but it's like a warning sound. It's a warning.
He's a ticking time bomb. That's what it is.
Honestly, yeah. Like I'm surprised you guys can't.
No, I
Sorry.
gotta get going.
I'm so
I've gone on
sorry.
too long as it is. So
I know.
yeah,
Oliver came in
no.
once already, so I was like, get
I
out,
saw
get
you. You
out.
were like, no.
I was like, no,
But
get
this was
out.
a good warm up for Dune when we will be back for Dune.
Yeah,
We
until
better
next time. No, this was fun.
back.
I'm not gonna do much editing or polishing, so this episode
No
will.
polish needed for me and Bridget, really. So,
Yeah, no.
nah.
So full, for the most part, release as is the thawed chat that we're having here. So
dirty
thank you.
release. The dirty worm. That's
So
yeah.
thank you, Bridget. Just give us a shout, Bridget, your social media, and so people know your voice.
This is Bridget. My Instagram is Bridget. That's Bridge with a T, 5246.
Yeah, when I introduced you both, I didn't, there was no specification as to who's who. So it's just a bunch of random
I feel like
voices.
they probably know who we are by now. I feel like we've both been on enough.
If they're a regular listener, yeah. And then Jody, you don't really share much social media unless you want to plug princesses or something.
Yeah, so I'm Jody Violet, used to be Pulaski, and I'm a mom and I own Pretty Princess Parties, but more importantly, like, I'm gonna start a pajama company and to be continued. But I do have to
Yeah,
run.
I'll let you go. Thank you.
Bye guys.
Thank you
Have a
both.
good night. Warm hugs, warm
Podcast
hugs.
conversations about animation. Yeah, warm hugs and have a magical day. Have a wonderful week. This is Philip Elke for the Thoughtcast for Scarlet. For the Zoom says Scarlet. That's Bridget's daughter, Bridget and Jody. Yeah, I'll let you all go, and we'll hopefully be back sooner rather than later. All right, love y'all. Bye.
Love you.
Yeah, that's a holdover from COVID. Bye.